Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're doing a deep dive into the world of soup.
Mm-hmm. It's a good dive.
Hope you see what I did there. So,
what's next on your list, Tony?
Fish soup. Fish soup and fish stews. I love.
Definitely.
I will admit, that's soups where it's kind of clear and I can see things that I want to eat swimming in it. Whether it's fish soup or vegetable soup, I like those things a lot. There's a fish soup that's traditional to Sardinia that I think is fantastic. It's whatever the vegetables are in season. Chickpeas are always available, and they're in almost every gosh darn dish that you see there. But chickpeas are always in there, and depends upon the season of the year. A lot of times it's going to be tomato and chilies. They'll preserve both of those as well. What you think of is mirepoix, carrots, celery, onions are in there as well. Mm-hmm. But all the vegetables get sautéed, and it's not some pre-prepared broth, but it'll be a handful of nice fish and what they think of as rockfish, what the French will call rouge,
mm-hmm.
and they'll take the whole fish, and they'll sauté them with the garlic and with that mirepoix.
You said whole fish, so
yeah.
With the bones and everything?
Whole fish. Sometimes heads, sometimes no heads.
Okay.
But a lot of times with the heads.
Well, bones are going to add good flavor, so
yeah.
That's cool.
And then what happens is all of that kind of gets going, gets warm in there, laurel bay goes in.
Okay.
A handful of fresh leaves, which is a lot of flavor.
That's always nice to have fresh bay.
And then a little white wine. And it's always like the whatever percentage of a bottle is like last.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It could be 2 ounces, could be 6 ounces, and then water to fill the pot,
mm-hmm.
and then bring it down to about half, and then you start fishing out things you don't want.
Okay, there you go. You're fishing out the fish.
Exactly.
The bones.
And you take the fish out, and the fish are served, you know, while they're warm,
mm-hmm.
and you
kind of like bouillabaisse.
Yeah, and just very good olive oil and nice. Like grilled bread?
That was going to be my question. Do they put olive oil in the soup, or is it just on the fish?
Olive oil in the soup as well.
I love olive oil in soup.
Olive oil in the soup. So the fish come out there warm, and they're on the bone of these little fish, and you literally just pick the meat off the bones. So it's a quick little easy fillet. But
there you go.
If you grew up in a culture where you're used to dealing with fish with bones,
it's
not a big deal.
Right, and the flavor
still,
is so much better.
The flavor is so good.
There's so much advantage to it. I wish people had an understanding of that and were more acceptable of it, because it really does make a big difference.
But what you have remaining in there is pretty reduced, good fish flavor, but it has the flavor from the garlic and the tomatoes and the chilies, and the chickpeas are making it a little bit richer, and the other vegetables, you know, like mirepoix does, kind of melt away.
I think that's one of the distinctions in restaurants that people, you know, when you think about people say, oh, fine dining, and it seems to in our country cover such a wide array of different types of restaurants. And to me, you know, there are all different kinds of restaurants like a bistro is supposed to be casual cooking. A bistro or an Italian restaurant that would have, I don't know what it would be called, maybe a Enoteca, an Enoteca, but like an Enoteca.
Any kind, like a little Sardinian tavern might make the soup.
Mm-hmm. And that's appropriate to have the bones in it.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, and the head on the fish. And even in a fine dining restaurant, you're going to find the head on a fish, because that's just the chef is telling you how fresh the fish is, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And it's a good sign. But when you have bones and things, or more bones on meat or whatever, you think of, sure, the food is great, but it's not a fine dining restaurant. It's a restaurant that's more casual and
Absolutely.
Speaks more to the culture and to the history of that culture. Because food that was, you know, made in large quantities or made inexpensively was the most accessible food, and really, frankly, some of the most important food from anyone's culture. That's it.
No question. You know my affection for that kind of cooking. That's why it always kind of falls down to that. That's the stuff I get.
I agree. Well, and I feel the same way, because that's what I love about the French food and the French food of the more peasant cooking, and also of Southern food. I mean, Southern food is, most of it is very much, you know, for the family to feed a lot of people inexpensively. So I'm with you on that whole thought process.
So you have the pot with the soup.
Right.
You've eaten the fish. On your soup plate, it's a piece of day-old bread. They dish up the soup, the broth with the vegetables on that. And then pecorino cheese and the Sardinian pecorinos.
You have
always nice
pecorino.
And strong.
Oof.
Like that, that first, and then the oil and the pecorino.
Oh yeah, please.
You know, and you know there's a plate of like black oil cured olives on the table.
Oh gosh, yes.
You know, and you know there's a strong glass of Cananao, which is it could be either the Vermentino that you often see there, which can be so good and almost salty white. But honestly, the Cananao is the name of a grape in Sardinia that is Grenache in France. And some of those are every bit as good as some of the great Côte du Rhône Village.
That's great.
Even Châteauneuf level.
Very good.
Especially with producer like Dutore or, you know, some of the stuff is fantastic.
Amazing.
But even like Pala. Pala is great and the wines are expensive. And and that is, it's funny, the contrast of that with the really flavorful soup that's like, it's like you just got the fat into it from the cheese and the oil and... That's great stuff.
Good.
But that's on my list.
Nice. I think that's a good one. I'm going to go right to Paul Bocuse because I can't help myself. Because really, truly, one of my favorite soups. And
you've had a deep, long love affair with Paul Bocuse.
I do. And I just want to go there one more time. He made a soup for the French president. And it is a masterpiece.
It's ridiculous.
It is unbelievable. And you can't believe that it's your first course because it's just... It has truffles. It has foie gras. It has amazing rich broth. And it's all covered with a dôme of pâte pastry. And
That's right. It was a soup for François Mitterrand in 1976. It was the homage of François Mitterrand.
And it's always, I think it's always been on his menu since then.
Yeah.
And so this is Paul Bocuse's restaurant in Lyon, France. And... It's remarkable when you break through that puff pastry and you get the aromatics and all that beautiful perfume from the truffle and the herbs and the mirepoix and the foie gras. It's magical. And I look forward to January every year because I now put that on my menu and try to duplicate that in my own way as a chef. And I just, it's just really, truly one of my favorite things. I think it's just really, really he makes it, it's beautiful.
If you're really going to eat that, it really is going to take two glasses of wine just to get you to the other side of it.
What kind of wine? I don't remember what we
good.
Had when we... Yeah, okay.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Did we? I feel like we had maybe rosé champagne.
Something that you love. Rosé champagne would certainly work. Grand Cru Chablis would be great. If you're really having it as a first course, you know, that would certainly work. Merceau can work. This is the opposite situation. You would like something with some oak.
Okay.
You would like something with the little reinforcement and that little spicy note. The pastry also kind of bakes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to do a chef's challenge?
Yes, let's do it.
I know you do.
You go first, honey.
I go first, meaning I challenge you first?
No, you're going to go first.
I'm going
to
be
because I think the last time I took so much time, you didn't get to do yours. Or you did it in 2 seconds.
I'm pretty speedy sometimes.
No, you're not ever speedy.
No, I'm not speedy.
Don't lie. Okay, no, what do we get?
You have to sip the wine, that's all, along the way. Whole lobsters. This is a serious bit
it's
of grocery
a
shopping.
Big list.
Do I have the money for this? The whole lobsters, eastern shore oysters, mean chincoteagues?
Yes.
Okay. Venison leg. Oh, thank you. I have venison on the brain these days. Pumpkin, bourbon. And you may not get fed. The butternut squash. butternut squash, star anise, juniper berry, cinnamon stick, porcini mushrooms, cipollini onions, chestnuts, local pears, pomegranate, lime and lemon.
Which I just threw in there to make it different from everything else.
And you kept this green vegetable free.
Oh, well, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The nutritionists are going to be after me.
I'm sure you have some green vegetables in your pantry that you can use.
No.
In your refrigerator?
No,
you don't?
Okay. Honestly, what I really want on the first porcinis of the year, if they're really beautiful, what I really want is a very simple green salad completely covered with perfect white shaved porcinis.
Good. Well, I gave you the lime and lemon.
And you slightly overdress the greens with a citrusy dressing and a tiny little bit of mustard in there, Dijon mustard in there. And a neutral oil, you know, just a canola or something, and let it be about the perfume. Because when you cover it with that and then you actually toss the mushrooms in and they start to get dressed with the greens, that's, for me, that's like the first thing I think about with those mushrooms when they come. Pumpkin and all those spices and butternut squash. The oysters, I'm real easy on the oysters. The Cipollini onions, I want to pickle a little tiny bit and cut them very, very fine, shave them basically, and give them a little bit of red wine vinegar and make a little garnish for those shinkatiques.
There you go.
And so have those as a first something. So at least you have something in your stomach while you drink champagne. the pears.
And you have something to eat while you're cooking.
Exactly. The pears, the pumpkin and the bourbon, I want to make into like a custard pie or a custard tart.
Oh, okay.
You know, that with pomegranate as a garnish, with the pomegranate seeds.
So you're saying up for dessert?
For dessert.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking courses. I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, the pomegranates, I would like to use those seeds for part of that pumpkin bourbon custard pie. Or maybe it's more like a frozen mousse. Do I have eggs?
Sure.
Oh, thank you, goddess of the eggs. Let's see. The venison with the chestnuts. What? I want to make chestnut sauce with the venison. It's not funny. I want to make chestnut sauce with the venison. You know, I can cook whatever's in front of me, but this is crazy. You gave me an unbelievable list. You must have been hungry when you wrote this.
I was just thinking about the time of year. And all the things it's ironic we've actually talked about most of those things. So
yeah, the pears I want to poach, slice thin, and serve them as but savory poach, with plenty of the cinnamon, and I want to serve them warm, sliced thin, as part of the garnish on the plate with the roasted venison leg.
Okay,
the venison leg I want to cut into fillets, and I want to roast them in the pan. And I'm going to cheat, maybe use a tiny little bit of duck fat.
Okay.
So that unless I have beef fat hanging around, I'm going to melt that in the pan and actually cook the venison just in sea salt.
Who has beef fat hanging around?
Well, you know, some of the beef fat guys. You never know. You're the butcher's daughter.
Uh-huh.
The
yeah, and I don't have beef fat hanging around.
That's
so
that's not my problem.
Well. Oh, boy.
But you'd want to baste that venison fillet, mm-hmm. and then rest it and slice it thin. And you have the warm slices of the cinnamon poached pears around.
Okay.
The chestnuts as a sauce with a little bit of stock reduction.
And I will have picked those for you from my new farm.
Your chestnut trees, that's great.
Yes, so excited.
And the butternut squash, the question is, I've got lobsters to deal with. Lobsters, I want to serve them with the oysters, like a lobster cocktail kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. It's didn't like really give you any ingredients for the lobster.
But you can poach them, you can chill them, and you can make, if I have the ingredients to do it.
Like you said, a little lobster cocktail with the oysters on the half shell. That would be a nice thing to have.
Right, but not a like tomato-y thing, but almost more like an aioli with horseradish, that kind of thing.
Okay.
We did the opposite thing. You gave me this big, long list, and I'm talking forever and ever and ever, and I'm not even going to get to... I'm going to give you a challenge right now.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the direction I'm taking your giant list. Okay.
All right.
So yours is...
Okay. Lamb leg, anchovies. Oh, Tony. Beets and greens. Garlic, lemons, blood orange, laurel bay, day-old bread, acorn squash, chilies, extra virgin olive oil, and figs. Lamb leg.
See, I'd save more money at the store than you.
Oh. I'm just going to roast the leg of lamb with acorn squash and the figs. So when I'm roasting it, I'm going to put the garlic in there too.
You mean like sliver the garlic and tuck it into the lamb leg?
Mm-hmm. And so, the lamb leg needs to be seasoned very well. So salt, heavy salt and pepper. I'll rub it with a mixture of corn oil and a little bit of extra virgin just to give it a little bit of richness. And the garlic slivers in the leg. Actually, I'm not going to debone it. I almost said debone. I'm going to leave the bone in because that's how it should be roasted. So it's a bone-in leg of lamb. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'll just make, like you said, a couple of slits and put the garlic in, season it, and near the end of the cooking process, I'll add the acorn squash in basically a large dice because it's going to break down. And
the acorn squash, like well salted in the lamb fat.
Yeah, will be delish. And
really
then
good.
The figs at the very end, basically just caramelize them a little bit in that pan right before the lamb is done. And and then, I don't know, anchovies, fresh anchovies, right? So
yeah.
I love fresh anchovies, so I will just grill those. I might save a little bit of that garlic because, quite frankly, the anchovies grilled very quickly, very light salt because they're inherently salty, and a little bit of pepper. So grilled, pop, and that's what I'm going to serve my guests while we're standing around while I'm roasting that leg of lamb. So the anchovies will come off the grill with a little bit of garlic. I'll just thinly slice that garlic raw right on top of the anchovies, a little bit of the lemon juice, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil on the platter, and that's we'll just be eating that. And obviously the lemon, need the lemon for that. And I might just do supremes, because if a supreme is when you cut into this section.
So you have a little filet of lemon.
Right, so you have little fillets of lemon on the anchovy. That would be yummy. So now I'm left with bread, chilies, extra virgin olive oil, blood oranges, and Laurel Bay. Oh boy. Dale bread, I'm going to make a salad. So I'm going to slightly saute off a large dice of the Dale bread and add the blood oranges to it. I may toss the Laurel Bay in the pan with the bread as it's working. I'm definitely going to add the chilies.
I'm going to throw you a couple of heads of radicchio.
Okay. Ooh, good. Okay, so the chilies will be in the pan with the bread as well as it's working, and that extra virgin olive oil. And then actually, since I've already got my grill going because of the anchovies, I'm going to grill the radicchio and then quickly chop it and add all the bread and the blood orange and the chili oil to it. And actually, I might backtrack on my anchovies, and the anchovies on there wouldn't be bad. All that together with the anchovies would be pretty good, actually.
I will admit, if it was me, I would the anchovies exactly the way that you said.
Okay.
And I would have that salad with that lamb leg you did it.
Well, you have beets on here. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good, the lamb leg with that salad. And you have beets, and frankly, it says beets and greens. I would just roast those beets because, gosh, I love beets so much.
There's your garnish with lamb.
Right, and when it comes out, I just toss them in corn oil, salt, sugar, and pepper, just a very little bit to season them. And you could clean the greens, julienne them, and saute them quickly and just add it to the sliced beets, and that would be a nice vegetable for the lamb.
We're so out of time. That's nice work, especially my grocery budget is kind of a longish minute. My grocery budget is not the same as yours today.
That was fun.
Just the wine budget
to
match yours is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have time for on Foreman & Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
If you want to communicate with us, it's foremanwolf@wypr.org. If you want to reach Chef Cindy Wolf on social media,
on Instagram, it's Chef Wolf, and on Twitter, it's Chef Cindy Wolf.
And thanks so much for listening today.